Welcome to Have You Heard. Have You Heard is a weekly discussion with musicians and people that just love music, where we get to ask you, hey, have you heard? Each week, Richard Dole and Matthew Altizer will discuss their favorite music or the music other musicians and artists simply couldn't live without. Find and explore new favorite music you didn't know you loved with hosts Richard Dole and Matthew Altizer. Welcome to Have You Heard. Good evening and welcome to Have You Heard. I'm your host, Richard Dole. Tonight we'll be listening to a lot of fun music from an excellent musician, somebody that you've actually heard on this show before, but on other people's records. That's right. That'll be a little bit of a trivia for you. First of all, I want to tell you who it is in just a little bit. But secondly, who has this artist played on an album that we have featured right here on WICR 88.7 on Have You Heard? Thank you so much for joining me this beautiful evening. Love sharing great new music with you. It's one of the highlights of my existence, believe it or not. Sure, a wildly successful middle of the road freelance trombone playing career, two beautiful kids and a lovely wife, but none of that compares to presenting new music to our wonderful dear listeners. And as you know, we talk about it quite often that we get lots of music in the mail, electronic mail and regular mail, and sometimes there's just a collection of items that come together that really put things on the top of my listening list. And the album that we're going to listen to tonight was released May 3rd, just a couple weeks ago. And it features a guitar player that teaches down at IU part-time. Well, not part-time, I should say every other week. Has a full contingent of students and all that good stuff. He's an excellent player. He lives in New Jersey, plays in New York and all over the country. This is the final part of his trilogy. It's called 8-Track Volume 3. And the artist is Dave Stryker. And this is a fun album. Now let me explain to you just a little bit about what's going on here. We have tunes that were popular at a time when 8-tracks were also popular. Well, were 8-tracks ever really popular? I'm not exactly sure. I'm just perhaps a little too young to have enjoyed the 8-track. I've heard them. I've been around them. I've seen them. I don't believe my parents ever had an 8-track player, but I could be wrong. I know we had LP player, of course, and I had a cassette deck and an LP player and a stereo. It was one unit. It was pretty cool. I was a cool kid, let me just tell you. But so this era of 8-tracks, Dave has taken these most popular tunes and tunes that are ingrained in the fabric of society and reimagine them for his group. So it's Dave on guitar, Stefan Harris on vibraphone, Jared Gold on organ, and McClenty Hunter on drums. A few tracks, we have Myra Casales on percussion, and man, it's a really cool album. There's really good takes on these classic tunes. We have Stevie Wonder, we have Marvin Gaye, Roy Ayers, The Carpenters, Burt Bacharach, Steely Dan, and Curtis Mayfield. So it's a nice wide collection of artists. And I got to tell you, it's a lot of fun to listen to this stuff. A little bit later in the show, we will be talking with Dave about putting this album together. And I think it's a fun little conversation that we had. And we talk about the challenges of rewriting tunes, basically, that everybody knows. And it's interesting. I think it's a really interesting take. And, you know, there's something about these tunes from way back when, you know, there's a distinct melody for so many of these tunes. And you don't need to hear the lyrics to know what the tune is. And so I think he's having some success with this album, getting plays all over the country. Just, I think, a couple weeks ago, he jumped like 100 spots from when it was released. It was released, and then people started playing it, and other people heard it, and now they're playing it, and I'm playing it, partly because I wanted to meet Dave. I wanted to talk to him, and I always love trying to promote people's records that are good guys, good gals, good peeps, and that have a connection to IU and Indianapolis, of course, because we are a local radio show on a local radio station, which is pretty awesome. Although, you can find us on the web. You can stream us at wicronline.org, and you can find older shows of this show at haveyouheardjazz.com. I invite you to go check that out. There's some cool interviews with some people we've done very recently. And so why don't we get to some music? This is, like I said, it's a fun album. 8-track Volume 3 by Dave Stryker. And let's listen to a tune that I think everybody knows, right? We all know Papa Was a Rolling Stone by The Temptations. Yes? I think this is a really great take on this tune. So we're going to listen to Papa Was a Rolling Stone, and then we're going to go right into a Steely Dan tune. Not much. He didn't do much to this tune, but the groove is just a little bit heavier. There's, you know, a couple decades of respect for this band and this tune in particular. So there's a lot of stuff going on right underneath the surface of this tune called Pretzel Logic. So we're going to start with Papa Was a Rolling Stone by The Temptations and Pretzel Logic by Steely Dan, all reimagined and played by Dave Stryker from the album 8-track 3. Thank you.
Thank you.
was a Rolling Stone and Pretzel Logic from the brand new album by Dave Stryker. That's 8-track volume 3. I'm Richard Dole.
Hey, I'm Matthew Altizer.
Hey, Matthew Altizer is here, ladies and gentlemen. A little surprise. That's right. So Matthew is phoning in all the way from the north side of Indianapolis. And well, Matthew, you missed a fun interview that nobody's heard yet that I did with Dave.
Yeah, sorry about that. Family kid issues.
Hey, man. You know, that
kid bedtime issues.
Yeah. It seems like as soon as they get into a pattern, the pattern changes. And they're going to push that pattern just a little bit more, you know? But that's just on my end. We're kind of getting that, real testing of what are the boundaries with Griffin in particular.
Oh yeah. We are well into the, what are the boundaries and how far can I push them?
Yeah.
And how far can I push them with mommy? And how far can I push them with daddy?
Yeah.
And which one do I like better?
Oh, yeah. Mommy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I like your wife better, too. I mean, but that's just...
I do, too. I like my wife a lot better than me.
I think that goes for most of us. Yeah. For all guys that have married up, way up, you know, way out.
Oh, yeah.
Way out of our league. Man. Well, hey, we're listening to the music of Dave Stryker. You know, some really interesting takes, reimaginings of some very, very popular tunes.
And this is kind of exciting. I'm sorry that I really missed getting to talk to him, because I know that you and I have done shows like this in the past where we've looked at how jazz musicians have tried to bring in new popular tunes and try to make them more in the, you know, the book of the jazz world, not trying to take over the Great American Songbook, but trying to expand upon that. So it's nice to see another album like that.
Right. Well, yeah, I think just like, you know, the Great American Songbook didn't end with Irving Berlin and George Gershwin.
Yeah.
It kept growing and building and growing. And then every now and then, I think there's maybe, this might be an interesting kind of thing to study or do a little research on. It's like somebody will have a hit based on a pop tune in the jazz world, and, or they'll cover a pop tune, and then that's a hit in the jazz world is like, you know, whatever, you know, it's not like you're not going gold exactly, but you know, it's, you get a lot of plays, you become a little viral in a way, in a good way. And then maybe there's like a trickle down effect where everybody else is like, oh, I'll do the same thing. I'll find a pop tune and I can recut it and see how that works out. I don't know. You know, there might be like a trendy thing like that, but I think this is his third volume at this. So that he's been doing this for a while. And his, you know, and his band is a solid band. I should maybe mention who's all on there. It's Stefan Harris on vibraphone, Dave Stryker, of course, on guitar, Jared Gold on organ, and McClenty Hunter on drums. So it's a solid band. It's his core band that he travels around with. Well, I guess Stefan is a special guest. It's usually just Jared Gold and McClenty Hunter, organ and drums, respectively. But yeah, there's always like, you know, whenever an album comes out, it has a certain sound or there's this element to it that's new and it's a popular thing, then there's all sorts of copycats down the line. And we've seen that through all of music history, basically.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, they were doing that in the Renaissance period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these composers would take, you know, like the Lo Marmé tune that was pretty much just a folk tune and build Catholic masses around it, and you know, so they're taking this popular tune and reimagining it. So
right, yeah, there you go.
I think a future show.
Okay, I'll add this to the future show page.
Yeah,
I actually have this somewhere. Okay, future show.
I think it'd be interesting to see if we could get an interview with Michael Feinstein to talk to him about the Great American Songbook. And how he feels it has expanded, and if there are limitations on how it can expand based on, you know, using these more popular tunes of now and everything. And I say Michael Feinstein because he start the Great American Songbook Foundation that's up in Carmel.
Correct.
I think,
yeah. That's,
I don't know. That might be an interesting conversation.
Yeah, I think it is an interesting conversation and a worthwhile conversation as well.
Yeah. And a great dissertation hint.
Yeah. Okay. So, well, okay. Why don't we play a couple tunes here? I think everybody knows these two tunes, and I think this will be a really great way to demonstrate how one can take a very popular tune or a well-known tune and, to reimagine it in with a jazz setting. So we're going to do a Stevie Wonder tune called Too High. Everybody knows that song, right? I'm not even going to try to sing it because you already heard it in your head just when I said Too High. You already heard it. And then from the Carpenters, We've Only Just Begun. So Too High by Stevie Wonder and We've Only Just Begun by the Carpenters as reimagined by Dave Stryker on his brand new album, 8-Track Volume 3. We'll be right back. Too High, and We've Only Just Begun by Dave Stryker. And now, why don't we take a listen to the interview I did with Dave just a few moments ago. And we're talking to Dave Stryker, guitarist Dave Stryker, the author of this great album of the music that we've been listening to tonight. I'm just going to jump right into it. Dave, thanks for coming on Debt. Have You Heard? Let me ask you, what is what's one of the challenges that you have for putting an album together with pop tunes, tunes that people already know? What are the challenges that you face with that?
So what my challenge was trying to, you know, find a way into these, you know, find the tunes that I could find my way into to still make them jazz vehicles that we could blow over, but the melodies, you know, or something that some people had heard that if they're older and if they're, you know, not older, they're still great melodies.
So. Yeah, absolutely. What was your process in choosing these tunes for this album?
Well, you know, I started this project, the first eight track came out about 6-7 years ago, I think. I can't remember exactly what the date was. But, and then I did one about 3 years ago. So, you know, every 2 or 3 years I did 8-track 2 and then I did this one. And, you know, it was after I did, I just basically kind of write down lists of tunes that I dig from that era. Mm-hmm. And then I got to kind of, you know, figure out which ones I can make work. And you know, it's fun. After I did the last one, you know, I started right up making another list, like, you know, this would be a good one to do, you know. And some of these tunes are, you know, tunes that I go back with. For instance, This Guy's in Love with You, that tune, like that, you know, that's just a great tune, you know, great changes. And so that's basically what I do. I just kind of like start making lists and then whittle it down.
Right. I mean, all of them are iconic, but I mean, so many are in just, it's hard to think of a different way to play Papa Was a Rolling Stone. You know, or, yeah. You know, Too High, even Pretzel Logic, like, you know, these are tunes that are defined almost by the way that everybody knows them. And, you know, I've been out with the Temptations and Four Tops and Papa Was Rolling Stone. Everybody sings everything. And like, it's the same way it's been done for 50 years or whatever. So right. How do you break away from that? You know,
You immediately, when you take out the lyrics, then you're just dealing with the melody. So, you know, I stay pretty close to the melodies, but on a tune like Papa Was a Rolling Stone, you know, it's the first section stays on one chord. And then when it goes to the bridge, you know, I added some, you know, more jazzier harmonies on the bridge. And then when we get to the solo section, instead of just staying on one chord, we made came up with a chord progression. That's you know, related to what we did previously, but it gives us you know, something interesting to blow over.
That's, yeah, I love the reharmonization on that tune. It's interesting. You know, it's like I want to hear what's happening, going to happen next.
Yeah. It's and then you know, you just have if you hire the baddest cats, you know, to play with you, like Stefan Harris and Jared Gold and McClenny Hunter, man, you know, it's then you just let them loose, man.
Right.
You know, Stefan is just incredible. You know?
Has this band been together for some time? I mean, the chemistry on the recording is palpable.
Yeah, this is my working trio with Jared and McClenty. And we've been together at least 10 years now. And Stefan was on the first 8-track record. And he's pretty busy guy. That was in 2014. So I was just looking that up. but the we were on a drive into a me and Stefan were driving to a gig last summer, he said, you know, you got to complete the trilogy. So I didn't realize that how he loves this stuff, you know, loves anything that kind of communicates to people, you know, and he's, you know, so he was like, man, we should do another one. So I didn't need to be asked twice, you know, so right. I started I started thinking about that because he's just one of the best musicians there I know. You know, he's just so good. And, you know, he's and just a brilliant guy. So, so I would say that it's my working trio with a special guest kind of situation. Nice. But, you know, he did the first record, so we just did a couple gigs recently. When we can get him, we use him. But also I did a gig on Saturday with Warren Wolf. So I kind of have different Vibes players who's ever available sometimes, mm-hmm. you know.
Picking these tunes, have there ever been a tune that you just couldn't make work?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Because, you know, the last thing you want to do is you know, and for any of us, is to be corny. You know what I mean? And it's very easy.
Hey, I'm a trombone player, man. So just be light on the cornball stuff.
Yeah, I'm surprised we haven't met. Are you? So you're out. You're in the Indy area.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a freelance player up here.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Well, I'll probably run into you one of these times.
I hope so.
I used to play a couple times a year up there at Jazz Kitchen.
Cool.
But yeah, as far as your question about, you know, I talked about making a list of tunes that can sometimes eliminate tunes right away. It's like, you know, you think, well, what are you going to do with this tune that's going to make it any different, you know, that makes it worthwhile. So, but you know, some of them like, you know, Pretzel Logic, that's just a hip tune. I didn't mm-hmm. really do much to that. It's just played instrumentally and put a, you know, it's already like a minor blues. And
right.
So I just voiced it out on the Vibes and, you know, Too High, you know, we changed the chord structure a little bit and, you know, but you know, great tune
yeah.
as it stands, you know, it's a tune like We've Only Just Begun. That's always a challenge to take a tune that, you know, a Carpenter's tune or something that's like, could almost be considered a little schmaltzy, you know,
mm-hmm.
but, if you go beyond that and look at the chord, you know, the harmonic structure and the melody and realize, wow, this is just a great tune, man.
Right.
And so, you know, same thing. I kept the melody straight, but I, you know, put my own chords, you know, and that's the other thing. You don't want to go too far. You know, like I hear sometimes people really take it out with their reharms.
Sure.
So I like to, you know, find that balance of, you know, putting the, some hip chords on there, but not overdoing it.
Yeah. Well, and Joy Inside My Tears, the Stevie Wonder tune, it's just that it's a very, to me, it sounds very reverent. Like you can tell that you love these tunes. You're playing them with respect. And it's not just, you know, I don't know, hand holding the audience or whatever. It's really, you know, really well done and also a challenge, you know, to make people listen just a little deeper on some of this stuff.
Right. Right.
So do you ever, like when you're working on these stuff, if you actually heard these on 8-track, do you ever hear like the clicks? You know, when you're like, do you ever write any of those in there?
I actually, yeah, man, I'm old enough to have had an 8-track player in my van in high school. So,
oh yeah,
this goes all the way back for me. I, you know, I remember being in my dad's Buick and listening to Blood, Sweat, and Tears 8-tracks and Chicago. He liked that kind of, that was a connection there between me and my dad, you know, that he certainly wasn't a huge jazz fan by any stretch of the imagination, but he dug those horn bands like that.
Sure.
So, you know, there's that kind of connection, and it was just it was just a time period, you know, that came up. There was some great music coming out mm-hmm. at that time.
Yeah.
Really great.
Now, how did you, you know, play guitar? I mean, I imagine it's an easier choice than some instruments. You know, people dig it. Every band has one or two.
Well, yeah. When I was a kid, I had an older sister about 5 years older than me. And so she was, had a little turntable that she would play the Beatles 45s on and the Rolling Stones and all that stuff. And so I was just like, listening to that, and I was like, oh man, I want to do that. So I, at an early age, like 10 years old, I started taking guitar lessons, and by the time I was 12, I was playing like with a couple guys a little bit older than me and having bands, and it just kept going from there. By the time I was in high school, I was pretty good, rock player, and went to a jam session at the local union in Omaha where I'm from, and they were playing song for my father, and I got up there and just started wailing, my rock and roll licks. And like somebody came up and said, "Hey man, you can't be playing that rock, those rock licks. This is jazz." And so I was like, "Oh, really?" So I went to the record store the next day, Homer's Records, and I said, "Where's the jazz section? I need to check out some jazz." So I somehow walked out of there with a George Benson record and a Coltrane record that day,
Wow.
and I started listening and just got hooked, And so then from there on in, all my buddies and I were learning tunes and jamming on those kind of tunes, and then went to an Ebersold workshop when I was in high school, and that really turned me around. I mean, my combo teacher was Joe Henderson.
That'll do
So
it.
it was all over after that. It's like
Wow.
totally hooked.
Well, what was it that made you like go to the record store and check out a jazz record instead of like go home and say, I'm not jazz. I can play loud and fast and my rock
Yeah.
licks and this stuff, but.
Well, it was that, for that very reason of like, being called on something like, "Oh, you mean I'm not amazing? Wow. You mean I suck?" Okay. Well, so but really it was curiosity, and I had heard them playing, and it was, everything about it was cool. The way they looked, the way they dressed, the way they talked. It was hip, and it was mysterious, and I was cu and I might just curious, let me go see what this jazz is they're talking about,
Oh,
'cause
that's cool.
yeah.
Yeah, that's so great, man. That's so awesome. So you're down at IU, what did you say, every other week? And when did you
Yeah,
start down there?
this will be my 7th year coming up.
Nice.
Yeah, so
Great.
I go out there every other week, just like Tuesday through Thursday, and it's great. It's been a good opportunity. At first, I thought it was a little crazy, to do this, but I've I've enjoyed it, and it's not that bad. I mean, I know a lot of people from the New York area that'll take the bus up to go to teach at Berkeley, and that's a longer commute than jumping on a flight to Indianapolis.
Right.
And then I got to, we rent a car. Todd Kuhlman also is doing the same thing I'm doing, the basis.
Right.
So we'll rent a car and drive from Indy down to Bloomington. It's cool. And also it gives me the flexibility when I have those weeks off between each one to be working on my own stuff and
Yeah.
doing tours and stuff.
Well, speaking of tours and your own stuff, what do you have on the docket coming up?
Well, had a pretty nice run of gigs going right now. Pretty much every weekend. We just played down at Chris's in Philly last weekend. We're going to Rock Hall, Maryland, this Saturday to do a gig at a concert hall there. And let's see, then, Port Jervis, New York. Then I'm playing at Smalls in June. Here in New York, and then I'm going to Omaha. I'm playing at a new club there called the Jewel, June 14 and 15. Back to Smalls the next weekend, June 20, 21, 22. Up to Connecticut in July, the Side Door. Then doing the Jazz Standard in New York in August, and the Jazz Forum. And I'm going to New Orleans in the fall. So, I keep busy.
Yeah,
Yeah.
sounds like it. That's
Yeah.
great.
Yeah.
Well, man, the album is great for I'll just say it's 8-track, volume 3. Do you call it volume 3, number 3? What's the proper
Eight-track volume.
nomenclature here?
Yeah, volume three.
Okay. And it's a great album. And for more information about Dave, you can go to his website. That's DaveStriker.com, DaveStriker, StrykerStryker.com.
Yeah.
And man, Dave, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to talking with us. And anytime you're coming to Indy and you want to promote something, talk about something, I hope you can feel free to give me a call or text or email, and let's get it on the air, man.
I sure will. Thanks so much, Richard.
Yep.
And appreciate, you know, playing the music, man, and getting it out to the people.
Well, it's our pleasure, for sure.
All right.
We're going to end this evening with Dave Stryker and his new album, 8-Track 3, by listening to another Stevie Wonder tune, Joy Inside My Tears. Thanks for checking us out tonight. Thank you.
Have You Heard is recorded and produced by Richard Dole and Matthew Altizer in the studios of WICR. The theme music is by Brent Wallerab from the BWJO album, Mezzanine. Feel free to follow us on Facebook.com/Have You Heard Jazz, and do join us next Wednesday for another exciting installment of Have You Heard.